Please be seated. John Thompson. Don't you hate it when the sermon begins with your name? And I wish you could have seen his face. But now, John Thompson knows how Zacchaeus must have felt that day as he dangled, undoubtedly looking ridiculous, from that sycamore tree. Last name in the world he was expecting to hear. "Zacchaeus," Jesus said, "get down here quick. I'm coming to your house to spend the night." Now, Luke doesn't tell us whether Zacchaeus climbed out of that tree or whether he fell out of it. But I'd like to envision it being the latter. Zacchaeus so totally astonished to hear his name that he literally lost his grip. Now, all of us start out with a story when we're pretty young, don't we? It becomes a favorite for all of us who have ever felt small or out of it or really just wanted to be the center of attention. But Luke didn't write this for children. He wrote it for you and me. So today I want to take this story that we all know and possibly challenge some of your assumptions. And I want to challenge them with possibilities. First, I don't think Zacchaeus was some chubby, lovable guy who looked like the mayor of Munchkinland. I think he was scum. But evidently the kind of scum that Jesus liked to hang around with, the kind of person that you and I usually try to avoid. He was filthy rich, a chief tax collector, which meant he wasn't the little guy who was sitting in the toll booth collecting tolls for the Romans. This means he ran the system. He skimmed off the top of those who had already skimmed off the top. And frankly, he was a career criminal. There wasn't a richer man in town, nor a sleazier one. So Zacchaeus' interest in Jesus might not have been as noble as we want to make it. In other words, he might not have wanted to know what this famous rabbi from Nazareth had to say about him or people like him. So he needed to get a ringside seat. But the street was so packed with people that he couldn't even get a glimpse of Jesus because he was too short, Luke says. Now, the funny thing is, from what I understand, the Greek translation can be read two ways. It can be read as Zacchaeus was too short or that Jesus was too short. Maybe Zacchaeus was 6'1 and Jesus was 4'10. It doesn't really matter, but remember, we're talking about possibilities. So Zacchaeus climbs that tree. And here's another kink in the story. Luke doesn't say that Zacchaeus climbs the tree to see Jesus. Luke says that Zacchaeus climbed the tree to see who Jesus was. And there's a difference, possibly a profound difference if you think about it, because maybe Zacchaeus wasn't so interested in seeing the celebrity rabbi who was passing through town as much as he was looking for something more than what he had in his life. Maybe he wasn't content to view Jesus just through the crowd. Maybe he wanted to see Jesus from a different perspective, an unobstructed view, a higher angle. And that certainly has the makings of a sermon, doesn't it? But then it happens. "Zacchaeus, get down here. I'm going to your house today." And that's when the crowd, I imagine, got quiet. The good people of Jericho couldn't believe it. They probably even started snickering a little bit. Maybe this Jesus guy isn't as smart as we thought. Because doesn't he know that Zacchaeus is the biggest jerk in town? And there we come to another possibility. Maybe this story about Zacchaeus is really about the good people of Jericho. They loved this wandering rabbi. They loved what he had to say. It's one thing, though, to believe in loving your neighbor welcoming the lost, forgiving the guilty. But it's quite another thing to actually do it. And that was hard for them to take. And it still is. It upsets the balance of things, and it's not fair. And then finally comes the strange conclusion to the story, which some scholars believe was added later to kind of soften the blow of having Jesus buddy up to this scumbag. Salvation comes to the house of Zacchaeus. He repented. He pledged to give half of what he has to the poor and to pay back fourfold what he has cheated people of. And at the time, that was a standard requirement for restitution. Yet there are many Greek scholars who believe that this part can be translated either in the future tense or the present tense, which means Zacchaeus could have said, I will give to the poor, or he could have said, I'm already giving to the poor. And if the latter is true, then maybe Zacchaeus is defending himself. Maybe he's making the case that he's not really as bad as people seem to think he is. And then, for me, the story becomes about something else. It becomes about a God who can't seem to help himself. A God who wants everybody in his fold, even a sawed-off social disaster with a big bank account and a crooked job, whether he or we ever manage to pay up personally for everything we've ever done or left undone. So, what is this all about? Is it about a God who includes dirtballs and scumbags? Is it about a little man who wanted to see who Jesus was from a different perspective? Is it about the people of Jericho, people like us, who make a habit of labeling people and deciding who should be in and who should be out? And for those of you who know me, you know my answer is yes. All the above. This is a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story for us as individuals and for us as the church. And it's a wonderful story for this day that we call All Saints Sunday. Salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus that day because he dared to look for the Christ from a different perspective and not just merely through the eyes of a crowd. And that's what I believe real faith is all about. And that's what I think we as the Episcopal Church are so very good at. Constantly striving for a different perspective about things and not merely one that's defined by the crowd. You know, I don't for a minute believe the church is supposed to be a group of individuals who always share the same view of things. How shallow and boring would that be? And like Zacchaeus, I think we all need a view of the Christ, unobstructed by the crowd. And I believe that's when we most clearly come to know the presence of Christ with us and among us in just as real a way as it was that day in Zacchaeus' house. And sometimes that's hard for us, we, the people of Jericho. We don't want our view of things challenged. That upsets our own sense of self and the boundaries that we create to puff up our own self-worth. But daring to climb that sycamore tree of possibility doesn't compromise who you are. And it doesn't make you any less right when you climb back down that tree. But it always makes us better. It makes us better and more whole for the experience. Because in that experience, we most purely come to know that our God is bigger and more encompassing than the crowd might want us to think. Wherever you find yourself in this story, it is ultimately one about the scandal and lunacy of a God who won't follow the rules. Don't take my word for it, just think of the saints that we honor today. People like a con man named Jacob, a bully named Paul, a know-it-all like Peter, a wee little man who got religion, and folks just like you and me. All of them weird as hell, but treasured. Treasured not because of who they were, but because they belong to that crazy God. And isn't that amazing? They live not only in ages past, there are hundreds and thousands still. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or shops or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. God love you. Amen.